no the yado, the samti lachomakom. And then we learned the series of 3 times 40 days that Moshe was up at Mount Sinai in order to receive Torah. Rosh Chodesh Elul was the third time he goes up the mountain. He makes his way up the mountain. He's going to be there until Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, he's going to come down with the message, Solachti Kidvarecha, I have forgiven the Jewish people, and now build unto me a sanctuary. Moshe Rabbeinu was also going to come down from the mountain with Shnei Luchot HaBrit, the two Luchot of the Covenant, in his hand, in one hand. Today's year, which will begin now, I want you to have in mind for a Refuah Shleima for Eliyahu Ben Hadassah, Mrs. Pick's son, who's undergone serious surgery. So we pray for Refuah Shleima for him, betoch Shar Chole Yisrael, together with all the other ill of Israel. The end of the last week's shiur, we learned the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, who tells us that chapter 51 in Tehillim is the chapter of Tshuva. He doesn't really detail how it is so, though of course as we learn this chapter, I want to point out to you the significant and fundamental aspects of Tshuva that are expressed here by David HaMelech. L'matzeach mizma l'David. A song for the conductor, a song by David. Bevoelav Natan Navi, this was when the prophet Natan had come to him, Kasher Baal Batsheva, after he had come to Batsheva. And it's the famous chapter in Tanakh where Natan, the prophet, admonishes and chastises David for what he did. We're not going to go into the story, but basically, the beauty and the power of David HaMelech's response is the fact that without hesitation at all, he says, Chotosi, I have sinned before God. There's a Gemara that says that the difference between Shaul and David, Shaul, because of a mistake or a sin that he made, lost the kingdom. Lost it. He had been told by Shaul to destroy Amalek utterly, and he didn't destroy Amalek utterly. And for that, God has torn away the kingdom from you. David HaMelech, whichever way we look at it, it certainly was not something that should have been done by the sweet singer of Israel, David HaMelech. And despite that, he does not lose the kingdom. He will suffer for it. Oh, certainly there will be suffering. He's going to have very difficult times. But he remains king. So now there are two ways of approaching the difference. The Gemara discusses the difference between Shaul and David. So first of all, Shaul's error was in a matter that relates directly to his task as king. As king, he was commissioned and commanded and exhorted by God to go out and wage war against Amalek and destroy him. He failed to function the way he should have functioned as king. God didn't find fault with David in his position as king. It was, in a sense, a private error, a private sin of a human being, so that makes all the difference in the world. Because one sins in a private matter does not mean that he has therefore failed as king of Israel. But there is a second aspect that's more significant for us. When Shmuel confronts Shaul and says, Ume kol hatzong, what's the sound of the sheep that I hear? What are the sheep? And then he sees that Agag, king of Amalek, is also alive. And he confronts Shaul. Shaul's first response is, well, you know, the people, they wanted, they asked. He gives a number of excuses. And only after he is told that God has torn the kingdom from you, then he finally says, Chotasi, I've sinned. David HaMelech's instant response to the admonishment of Natan HaNavi is Chatasi LaHashem. Owning up to it without any kind of excuses, not shifting the blame anyplace else. And incidentally, if we want to, we can also say the shifting of the blame by Shaul was already in and of itself unking-like. King has to understand that the buck stops here. That's also a fault in his being a king by virtue of the fact that he somebody else's fault, not my fault. King always has to take responsibility. David, instant. Chatasi LaHashem. And you know what? There's an instant response from Natan. Gam Hashem hevir chatatcha. God has already forgiven you your sin. And here is what David HaMelech says, the prayer that he says following or at some time, at some point, soon after Natan HaNavi had spoken to him. Choneini Elokim kechazdecha. Show me favor, O God. Choneini chen. Show me grace. Show me favor, Elokim kechazdecha. Because yours is, you do chesed. You do kindness. As an act of kindness, show me favor. Kirov rachamecha. Because of your great compassion, your great rachmanis, mechei pishai, erase my transgressions. Erase my transgressions. We're going to come back to this. I just want you to keep in mind that during the course of the Yom HaNoraim, one of the central features of the Tefillah of Yom Kippur and Slichas is of the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of God's kindness. Hashem Hashem Keil Rachum V'Chanun Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed V'Emes Notzeh Chesed La'Lofim. We will hear strains of the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of God's mercy. Choneini Chanun Chanun Kechazdecho, God is Rav Chesed. Kerov Rachmecho Rachum v'chanun, mechei pesha'ai, therefore erase my transgressions. Herev kabseini me'avonai. Herev over here means abundantly. Rov, a great deal. Herev, cleanse me. Kabseini, kipus, to wash. Wash me from my iniquity. Here we also have to notice there are three terms that keep being repeated in the Yom Neroim davening by which we describe sin. Chotosi, Ovisi, Poshati. Chet, Avon, Pesha. Here we're going to find them in opposite order. He says, Mechei, Pesha'ai, and then Herev, Kabseini, wash me, Me'avoni, U'mechatosi, Chet, Tahareini, purify me. The usual explanation of the difference between the three is the following. A pesha represents a sin that is done not only intentionally, but done with a sense of rebelliousness against God. An act of rebellion. A real crime. I mean, in Hebrew, pesha. Pesha means real criminals. On the other extreme is chet. Chet always means really the unintentional. The unintentional. I didn't really mean it. And it comes from the word, one of its meanings is it comes from the word to miss the mark. Lahachti et hamatacha. If you're shooting to hit a bullseye and it goes off, it is chet. You have missed the mark. You weren't intentionally bad, but you know, it's treftzach, it happens. And avon already is something also that is intentional, just like the pesha. But the difference between the pesha and the avon is person wanted to do the Avera. He knew it was Avera. He wanted to do the Avera. He just couldn't control himself. Couldn't, you know, sometimes, I mean, we don't know about these things, but certainly there are people who know about these things, that sometimes, you know, you do an Avera, and then thank God that you feel badly afterwards and you're ashamed of yourself. You say something you shouldn't have said. And even before you said it, you're already thinking to yourself, should I say it? Shouldn't I say it? I have to have a juicy shtick, lashon hara. And then you just didn't control yourself. That's an avon. You feel bad. You shouldn't have done it. But it was never done as an act of rebelliousness. It wasn't like, I don't care about the Aveir of Lashon Hara. It doesn't make any difference to me. No, not that. So here we have Pesha, Avon, Chet, Hered, Kapseni, wash me, cleanse me from my sin, Umei Chatosi, Tahadeni, and from, you know, we keep using from my sin or from my error, Tahareni, purify me. Ki Pishoai ani Eida, Vechatosi Negdi Tamid. Because I know my act of rebelliousness, the chatasi negdi tamid, and I see my error before me constantly. I'm aware of it. It troubles me. It bothers me. But remember, we're not talking over here about David HaMelech descending into the black pit of guilt, because he's taking action. He's being positive about it. He is correcting the situation. It's before you alone, God, that I sinned. I did that which was bad in your eyes. And I know that I'm going to suffer for it, so that you should be just in your words. I will let people know that I sinned, so that when anything happens to me, they should know that it happened to me because I deserved it. You'll be the one who will emerge righteous in your judgment of me. And we're going to get back to all of these ideas. They're very fascinating ideas, but just we need a few psukim. Difficult pasuk, but we'll give you the basic understanding. Behold, in iniquity, in sin, I was fashioned. I was brought into the world. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Yechemasni imi, my mother conceived me. He's not saying anything about his mother and father. What he's saying is the following. He's saying really what God said in Bereshis. Ki yetzer lev ha'odom ra minu yurov. Man has evil in him from his youth. With birth and with conception, I am born with the inclination, the bent, and even if not inclination or bent, God created a man who is capable of sin. If man would be incapable of sin, then he's a robot. The Rebbeinu doesn't need to create robots. Man was created with free will, and free will therefore means that he can do good or he can sin, and it's because he has this free will that he is going to be rewarded for what he does that is good and is going to be punished from sin. He's not saying anything about his father and mother. What he's saying is from birth, from what I am. Now, there's something significant about this. Maybe I'll point that out at right now as well. In the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachman, we say, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim, God is long to anger, V'emes, truth. Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'emes. The word truth is the one word that sounds a discordant note over here. Because chanun means, like choneini elukim kechazdecho, favor me as an act of kindness, leaves the impression that this is not something that's truth. Truth is, I sinned, I should be punished. An act of favor is, you are a sinner, despite that, great act of kindness, I forgive you. Rachamecha, mercy, is also not MS. MS is, you sinned, you suffer the consequences of sin. Mercy doesn't fall into the category of MS. Rav Chesed. All of these would seem to be the opposite of truth. Truth is justice. You sinned, punishment. Yet in the 13 attributes of Rachamim, Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, the 13th attribute of Rachamim, Emet is there. We said a shiur some years ago, wherein we explained that this was the great struggle that took place, the great debate between Yonah and God. Yonah flees. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He's not going to bring the word of God to that sinful city. What is he supposed to say to them? He's supposed to say to them, Od arboim yom v'ninveh nepochet. In another 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overturned and destroyed. And then he flees. He runs away. He doesn't want to go. He refuses to carry out God's command. He goes out into the ship. God follows him there. Is there a place where man can ever flee from before God? And therefore the Gemara at one point says that he really went to die in the sea. He will not carry out God's word. I'm really condensing what's... So we condense. We'll elaborate on other things. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Because he knows that these goyim, they'll do tshuva now, but they'll promise God the world now, and then later they'll go back to their evil ways, and the ones who will ultimately suffer will be the Jewish people. And the fact is that Nineveh were those who caused great suffering to the Jewish people. He doesn't want to go. And then finally, God forces him to go. We know the whole story. He's in the boat. He's thrown overboard. He's swallowed by the big fish. He's spat out on dry land. Forced, he goes into Nineveh, makes the great announcement, Od arboim yom v'Nineveh nepochet. And what happens is the city starts doing tshuva, a tshuva of such power and such magnitude, encompasses the whole city, from the king all the way down. And meanwhile, Yonah is sitting outside the city waiting to see what's going to happen to the city. And God appears to him and he tells him this great sentence. Yadati, God, I knew all along that your chanun v'rachum, your merciful and compassionate, you're Rav Chesed, you're so good. V'nichom al hara'o. And you don't want to bring punishment about them. So we had asked then in the shiur, you know, you're telling God, I can't stand you, you're so good. That's why I ran away. I can't take it. You're so merciful, you're so compassionate, you're so full of kindness. That's why I fled to Tarshish. What's Yonah talking about? So he'd explained then that what was bothering Yonah was one thing, one word. Emet is missing. One word is missing. Yadati, I knew that your Chanun v'Rachum Erech Apayim v'Rav Chesed. And he stops. Yonah is saying, don't always be so compassionate, O God. If you will demand from them tshuva, that's truth, real tshuva, then ultimately Klal Yisrael will not suffer. But you know, you're too soft. Yonah demanded truth. And God at the end of the Sefer says,
Don't you understand? There are millions of people living in this city that don't know the difference between their right hand and their left hand. They don't know truth. And cattle and all sorts of living creatures. And I made them. No.
Yonah was called Yonah ben Amittai. Yonah demands truth. Yonah demands truth. Now what I'm asking is, the word truth, as it appears in the 13 attributes, seems to strike a discordant note. We're talking about being God being Chanun and Rachum and Erech Apayim and Rav Chesed, merciful, full of grace, so much kindness. Where does Emes? None of that seems to be truth. So here, what is being said over here, and this is the introduction to the next pasuk, Hein Emes Chofatzto Batuchot. You wanted truth. You wanted truth. And there is truth, batuchot means within, in the mind and the feeling of men. You know what David HaMelech is saying? Even truth, this is a different approach than we took years ago. Truth demands that God should be merciful and compassionate. Why? Because Hein Ba'avon Cholalti, I was created in sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. From the time that I was born, God Almighty, you know our weaknesses. You know what we're prone to. You made us that way. You made us that we are open to temptation. Yes, sometimes we overcome and sometimes we don't overcome. The truth of your creation demands that you be compassionate, because you created human beings. You didn't create robots. You created people who are going to be standing there constantly with the choice of good or evil, truth or falsehood. And with all that comes to bear on the human intellect and the neshama, it's not easy. Do you understand that? Which means, by virtue of the fact that you created us this way, then the truth of creation demands that you be compassionate and you be merciful. That's what he wants to say now. So that David HaMelech is saying, yes, Hashem, Hashem, Keil Rachum, V'chanun, Erech, Apayim, V'rav, Chesed, V'emes. It fits in perfectly. Truth demands that you be merciful and be compassionate. U'besatun chachmot hodieni. Difficult pasuk, but here they translated it as, behold, the truth which you desire is in the concealed parts. The concealed parts over here, the Mefarshim say, it refers, in biblical ancient terminology, the kidneys are the source of intellect. That's the term that's used, just like the heart is used as the term for desire. Do we desire with our hearts? We don't desire with our hearts. I don't even know what we do. Just as long as it pumps, it's okay. But I don't know if it's desire or we feel with our hearts. I think, I imagine we feel with our brains or something, whatever we have. But in Tanakh, the idea of kidneys, that's the where wisdom is supposed to be. I don't know, maybe someday they'll find out that there is a great relationship between it. So, Hein Emes Chofatzto, that truth that you wanted that is in our kidneys, Ubisatum Chochmoto Di Eini, and what is concealed, the covered, is the wisdom that you teach me. Here I want to tell you, very, very nice pshat. Ubisatum Chochmoto Di Eini. You have taught me a wisdom that is concealed from everybody else. There is a famous medrash. It appears in a few places. It appears in Mishle. It appears in Yecheskel. The medrash says the following. Sha'alu l'chochma. They asked wisdom. Chote Mahu Onsho. What is the punishment for a sinner? And wisdom said, Chatoim, the sinners, Teradeif Ro'o, the evil that they did will pursue them. In evil itself exist already the seeds of man's punishment. You're a sinner, it will pursue you. Shalul Nevua, prophecy was asked, what's the punishment for one who sins? And prophecy's response was, a pasuk in Yechezkel, HaNefesh HaChotat Hi Tamut, the soul that sins shall die. Shalul HaTorah, they asked Torah, what should be the punishment for the sinner? And Torah's response was, Yovi Korban, let him bring a sacrifice, Viyit Kaperlo, and he will be forgiven. Finally, Shalul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they asked the Holy One, blessed be he, Chote Mahu Onsho, what is the punishment for one who sins? And the Rabbeinu Shalom, and only he alone, says, Yaseh Tshuva, let him do Tshuva, Viyit Kaperlo, and he will be forgiven. David HaMelech is saying, Ubesotum Chochmot Odieni, what is concealed from wisdom, you can tell me. What wisdom can't tell me, what prophecy can't tell me, what Torah can't tell me, the only one who can say it is God. Because one sins against God, and only God is the one who can say, do tshuva, and I will forgive you. And it can only come from God, because remember, that there's a serious problem with the whole idea of tshuva. The whole idea of tshuva, which is so fundamental to all of Torah and all of Jewish life, there's a problem. You did something. How do you undo something that's already been done? How do you erase the past? You make believe like you never did it? What does tshuva mean? Wisdom could never say that. Prophecy could never say it. Torah could never say, you did something, you did something. The only one who is able to say, Yaseh Tshuva, a person should do Tshuva and he'll be forgiven, is God, who is beyond time. And he therefore can undo that past. God is always living in the present. And the present of Tshuva is also the present in which one sinned. I hope we will develop this further, but I want to learn one more pasuk, and then the shiur will begin. This is all warm up. Techateini be'ezov ve'ethar, techapseini umisheleg albin. Very important pasuk. Techateini be'ezov ve'ethar. I would say, purify me with the hyssop, the azov, you know what the azov is? The azov, zatar comes from an azov. Now, what's the purpose of the azov? When one has become tamei, defiled spiritually by contact with a dead body, so the halacha is, the Kohen has to sprinkle from the waters of the Pora Aduma with a hyssop on the seventh day, the third day, and on the seventh day. There's a whole process of Tahara. Somebody who has gone, has become defiled through contact with the dead body, has to go through a process of purification. Tichateini, you will purify me with the Azov, and I'll explain it all, ve'etor, and I will become cleansed. Techabseni, second time we talk about kibus, washing, umisheleg albin, and I will be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. All right. So let's begin. No, I mean, everything that was set up until now was pretty serious, too. It was very serious. At the very heart of these psukim is, first of all, one of the one of the great shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik in Al HaTshuva. I go over it every year. Not in shiur, but I go over it myself because it's powerful. And David HaMelech is explaining it right here. It's absolutely being explained right here. The Rav says the following. Yom Kippur and the process of tshuva brings to two things. There are two results. Kapora and Tahara. Kapora is atonement. Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement. And also, it is supposed to bring to Tahara. At the beginning of Yom Kippur, we say, Ki bayom hazeh, because on this day, Yechaper aleichem, God will forgive you, L'taher etchem, in order that you should become purified. Lifnei Hashem titharu, the Kohen Gadol says, before God, you become come cleansed. So we're talking about two aspects. The two aspects of tshuva are that there is kapara, atonement, forgiveness, whatever that means, and there is tahara, cleansing, purifying. So he says this is because in every sin, there are two aspects that define a sin. First of all, a chet, must bring in its wake the possibility of punishment. God doesn't always have to exact the punishment. We can do tshuva, we can do all sorts of things. But by virtue of the definition of sin is an act that one has done, that he is now guilty, and guilty means there's punishment. There's no such thing as, nobody gets a free lunch in this world. You don't get away with anything unless one does tshuva. Unless one does tshuva. But the sin in and of itself, first of all, establishes man's guilt. And that guilt, therefore, must bring in its wake punishment. And there's a second aspect of sin. The second aspect of sin is that sin soils, stains, and pollutes the personality of the human being. The human being after he sins is not the same human being that he was before he sinned. And we will elaborate on that. Which means the following. If sin means there must be punishment, and also sin is metame, sin stains and soils the human personality, then tshuva is going to have to accomplish two things as well. First of all, it will have to serve as kapora, forgiveness, so that there won't be punishment. And second, it's going to have to rebuild the human personality and purify it all over again. The word kapora really comes from the word, kapora means to wipe clean. As I say it now, I get this feeling, kapora is, you know, you can wipe something clean on the surface, but it doesn't mean that you've really cleaned within. Kapara is that which removes punishment. It's like the word mechila. Mechila. Soleach, God is soleach u'mochel. He is mochel avonot. Mochel is a word that comes from the world of money and judgment. Somebody owes me $100. I say, I'm meichel you $100. I'm meichel you $100. Doesn't mean you never owed me. Of course you owed me. But I'm meichel. I don't need. Okay, keep it. By sin, mochel means that God is mechaper. The punishment that's supposed to come for that sin is not going to come. It stands, tshuva stands like a chomat magen, a fence, a wall, to stave off punishment. But there's a second aspect of the sin, and the second aspect is that the sin also defiles the human personality. And what way does it defile the human personality? There's halach in Shulchan Aruch that says the following. A person who committed a sin for which there would be, in time of the Sanhedrin, there would be a punishment of lashes, is no longer
no longer capable of testifying before a Jewish court. His posel eidus can't testify. Until he does tshuva, somebody stole, ganeth, can't testify. Your testimony is not going to be accepted in a Jewish court. You're going to have to return everything that you stole. You're going to have to ask for mechil and all the rest. Now, the Rav says the fact that one can no longer testify before a Jewish court, this is not a punishment because you sinned, bad boy, you sinned. Now we're not going to let you. We're not going to let you testify. No. Sin has changed the human personality. A person who is without sin is a person who can be trusted and can be relied upon. You sinned, you have lost that absolute trust that had been yours previously. Because something changed in your personality. It can't be that sin is simply going to leave you clean like Snow White. You're not Snow White. As David HaMelech says, oh, after he does tshuva, Misheleg albin, I will be whiter than snow. But you have to go through a process of tshuva. So tshuva does two things. Tshuva brings kapara, and tshuva also brings tahara. Now we're going to understand, David HaMelech over here a number of times says, cleanse me, wash me out, purify me. Because what David HaMelech is concerned about is not only kapara, being forgiven the punishment. He wants his personality to return to its pristine nature, to what it was before. There's a halacha that says the following. We have it on next page, other side. Number two, these are two halachas from the Rambam in Hilchos Eidus, in the laws of testimony, not in the laws of tshuva. The Rambam had said the following: there are people who cannot testify before a court of law. People who gamble, who play with dice. There's also a group called Mafriche Yonim. They used to have, you know, either chicken fights or sending birds flying, and you know, and we put down money whose bird would win. And then there are people who lend money with interest, and then there are Sochare Shvias, people who do business with Shemitah produce. You're not allowed to do business with Shemitah produce because Shemitah produce belongs to God and to all of Klal Yisrael. So now the Rambam says all of these people cannot testify. How do they regain their ability to testify? How do they become trustworthy again? Take a look at number two. Kol mishen et chayev malchus. Anybody who has done a sin, committed a sin, for which he now has to get whipping, flagellations before the court. Bein shos tshuva, bein shaloka bebezdin. Either if he did tshuva, or he indeed was punished by betin. Chozer lekashruto. He returns to his original state of being kosher, a kosher witness. That's somebody who did he ate something that wasn't kosher. All right, so he gets malchus for it. Right? As soon as he gets malchus, he's back to what he was. But shar psula yedus. But there are other people who cannot testify. Shem psula mishum mamon shechamsu or shegazlu. They're possible because of money that they took or they stole. Even if they paid the money back, tzrichim tshuva, they have to do tshuva. V'hayareihem psulim, they are posel, ad sheivoda shechazru behem midarkom haro'o. Very important words. These people are people that we have to know that they have turned away from the evil path and road that they had been on. And he gives an example. When do we consider a gambler, guy who plays the dice, when do we consider that he has returned and he's now he can now testify? What purifies him? So the Rambam says, Mishayishberu es pesifaseihem, v'yachzeru behem chazora gemura shelo yasu afilo bechinam. When they break the dice. When they break the dice. And they will return completely that they will not even shoot dice without money. Now what's fascinating over here is this seems to be a halacha of Hilchot Tshuva, a halacha of repentance. Why didn't the Rambam write it in Hilchot Tshuva? This appears in the laws of testimony, not in the laws of Tshuva. So the Rav says, because in the halacha, Hilchot Tshuva, we're talking about Tshuva that stands in the way of punishment, kapara. In this halacha, we're talking about a tshuva that goes a step further, that's tahara, completely purifying. The Rav says, the gambler who still has the dice in his desk drawer, the smoker who still has a pack someplace in the house, the drinker who is Johnny Walker in some cabinet in the house, hasn't done tshuva. It's sort of this feeling like, you know, if I'm overcome by it again, there it is, we'll have the dice, a drink, a smoke. Halacha is, do you know when this person's personality has been rebuilt and restructured and purified? When he breaks the dice. Even without money, they're not playing with the dice. They're not sending off the birds. Because over here we're talking about a person who has to recreate that original pristine natural human being within him that was untainted, unsoiled, unstained by chet. The Rav says, number three, in Tfilat Yom HaKippurim, in the prayer of Yom Kippur, we ask for two things. Mechol la'avonotenu b'yom HaKippurim azeh, forgive our sins on this Yom Kippur. And we also ask, I want you to watch his words, we also ask, Mechei v'haver pisho'enu v'chatoseinu mineged einecho. Remove, erase, our rebelliousness and our sins before your eyes. Michol avonaseinu, the Rav says, forgive our sins. That's regard to tshuva of kapara that removes punishment. But mechei v'haver pishaenu, erase, that's talking about erasing all traces of sin within my personality. Keneged tshuva shel kapara ve'eg echad, one corresponds to tshuva shel tahara v'nema, and it also says, and this comes from the Tefillah of Yom Kippur, Machisi cha'av pishoecho, God says, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, I have erased like a cloud your sin, v'che onan chatosecho, and like the mist your sin is gone. Shuva elai, return to me, God says, ki ga'al ticho, because I have redeemed you. Michiat ha'avonot, forgiveness of sin that is mechei v'haver is like wiping the sky clean of the cloud cover. Gone completely. And what remains is the beautiful, clear, blue sky. Kishadam zochel tshuva shel tahara. The words are very important. When a person merits that his tshuva is not simply a tshuva
protect him from punishment. But it's also real. It goes into the neshama. He cleanses himself. It becomes a tshuva shel tahara. Mitpazrim kol ha'ananim. All the clouds are dispersed from upon him. V'zorachat lo shemesh ha'tahara. And the sun of purification shines for him. Then he feels and he senses in his whole personality that I have redeemed you. This is going to bring us later to another extremely important idea in tshuva. Chet makes it very difficult for men to see clearly. He can't think clearly, he can't see clearly. And he confuses things. It is when sin dispels the clouds and all of the mist that one is finally able to see things in very, very clear ways. So now let's go back to our Perek and Tehillim over here. What David HaMelech says in the third pasuk, Choneini Elokim Chasdecha Kerov Rachamecha Mechei Pesha'ai. Erase it. He's not simply doing tshuva of kapara, he is doing tshuva of tahara. Herev kapseini, wash me, me'avonai. Umechatosi tahareini, he wants tahara, that's what he wants. It's not simply tshuva that comes because he's frightened of what God may do to him. He's going a great giant step further. Kip shayini yeda v'chatosi negdi tamid. Then. Techat eini be'ezov, pasuk 9. Techat eini be'ezov, techapseini umisheleg, misheleg albin. We talked earlier in the shiur about where does MS, truth, fit into the 13 midot harachamim. Truth seems to be in direct conflict to rachum vechanun erechapayim, God's merciful and goodness and kindness. So we gave one answer so far. The answer that we gave based on what David HaMelech over here says, listen, Rabbein Shem, you know you created man, and you created us with this inclination, this bent, or this openness to sin. So truth demands that you should be merciful. The Rav goes a step further. The Rav also asks the question, Rav Chesed v'emes. They're a contradiction, a paradox in terms. God is very, very merciful, very kind, great deal of loving kindness. Loving kindness is not truth. So he says, men can do tshuva of kapara, and he can go the next step further and do a tshuva of tahara. That God forgives man when he does tshuva, which is motivated and prompted by fear of punishment. And what he wants is that God should remove punishment for that Rav Chesed. God, that's good enough. God will accept it. And because of his great kindness, he will remove punishment. But man can go one step further. He can arrive at a Yom Kippur and be zochet to Tahara. Oh, once the Jew has reached the point of Tahara, where he has rebuilt his personality, then Emes demands that God forgive him. There's a tshuva of Rav Chesed, and there's a tshuva of Emes. One is the tshuva of Kapora, and the other is the tshuva of Tahara. One is the tshuva to ward off punishment, and the other is the tshuva to rebuild the human personality. But how do you rebuild the human personality? Not as long as the dice are still in the dice and the desk. That's not good. Because not only is there chet, there is what Rambam mentioned it. There is derech ra'ah. a person who's on a path that's not good. It can be society, it can be the environment, it can be so many, many things. Tshuva requires not only that one correct one's ways, but when one has to take a look at the way in which he travels in life, that also may have to require a dramatic change. The derech hatoyim, ashrehu ish, ashelo halach batzas reshoyim, uve derech hatoyim lo amad, and did not stand in the way of the sinners. I'll just give you a little insight into one of the beautiful homiletic ideas that's expressed by the Rav. There's a story in Shmuel Aleph. There's a story about David when he is fleeing from before Shaul. He comes to a man called Novel HaKarmeli. Novel was a person who was, say, Kishmo Kenhu. He was a knave. Novel HaKarmeli. His wife was the great Tzedekus of Igayel. Great Tzedekus of Igayel. David sends men to Novel, who was very rich, and says that his men, they need food, and he says, no, he's not going to give a thing. Not a thing. Nah. And some of his men tell him, but you should know, David's band of soldiers had been protecting us from marauders all the time. We owe him a great debt of gratitude. Novel says, no, no. His wife Avigail, she knows what's happening over there, and she knows that when David finds out, Novel's life is not going to be worth anything. A rejection of this sort. Anyway, she travels all night, and the Navi describes how on a path on a mountain, Avigail and David meet up. And Avigail basically, a very beautiful way, convinces David, don't do what you plan on doing. Because Novel doesn't understand. The Gemara also says that David has not yet really officially become king, so that Novel would be considered one who has rebelled against the king. Don't. And he thanks her. And then she goes back. And then the Navi says that he was drunk all night. Novel was drunk all night. When it all wore off, and he realizes the terrible mistake he made, his heart became like stone. He lingered for 10 days, and he died. So the Rav says, for every sinner that comes the moment of Bitseis Hayayin, when the drunken stupor goes, when one all of a sudden realizes and takes a look, what do I do with my life, what have I accomplished, where am I going, what goals, what objectives, what wasted a life, there ultimately always has to come the moment of Bitseis Hayayin. And there's also always an Avigail who's going to tell you. She's the one who hints to the Novel that wasn't right what you did. It wasn't right. There's always a conscience. There's always somebody who's going to tell the sinner, you made a mistake. And then the moment of sobriety is going to come, and you have to make sure that it shouldn't come too late. The clarion call of month of Elul is the shofar, as the Rambam says so famously, Uru Yeshenim Mishnaschem, awaken you sleepers from your sleep, your slumberers from your slumber, and make a cheshbon hanefesh, where are we going and what are we doing? In a sense, you know what the shofar is? The shofar is the Avigail, who talks to the sinner and tells him, you know, you better wake up. You better wake up. But ultimately, the goal that starts on Elul and ends in Yom Kippur is a dual one. It has to be a tshuva, not merely a tshuva of kapara, because we're frightened of punishment, but a tshuva that is one where we seek tahara, we seek to be purified by virtue of the fact that we realized that we had a very good friend, the best friend, God Himself, and we lost Him by virtue of sin. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. Man has to return, lifnei Hashem titaru, to become purified before God.